Amen. Matthew chapter 25, taking a look at verses 1 through 13, that says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were," somebody help me here, "5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil." They didn't have any oil with them. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise," look at this, "'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" But look at this statement from the wise. "They answered and say, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you.'" We got just enough for us and not enough for you. Goes on to verse 10 and saying, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" I want to preach to you for just a few moments on the subject of "give us of your oil." Give us of your oil. Would you put your Bibles down, and would you lift up your hands, and would you ask God that right now would be the time and right now would be the season that we receive, that God, I want this, Lord, I want this word. Come on, would there be an individual that would just pray, "God, I want this word. God, you've got something for us." And so, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, speak to us, Lord. Minister to us. Come on, that's it. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Somebody said, "In Jesus' name." Come on, somebody said, "In Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Give us, turn to your neighbor and say, "Give us of your oil." I want your oil. It's in this story in Matthew chapter 25. That we read about 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins, that they are waiting on the bridegroom, that at midnight there was a cry. And it's a metaphor this morning for the coming of the Lord and the rapture of God's church. And I just want to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. We still believe that, right? Come on, somebody, that at midnight there's going to be a cry. That we still believe that God is coming back, and that God is coming back for his bride. That he's coming back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. That trumpet, it's going to sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed when that trumpet sounds. Now, you know, I'm 30, late 30s here, and so I grew up in that time with Tim LaHaye. Anybody remember Tim LaHaye? How many know what I'm talking about right now? Tim LaHaye. I tremble just saying the author's name. You know, it's like, if you're here and you don't have a clue who that is, he was the author of those Left Behind series books, you know? Those Left Behind, I think it was in 1995 was when that first Left Behind book came out, and all of my friends, we got the Left Behind book, Brother Wood, and you know, we were like nervous to read it, like, here, you know, here we go, we're gonna dive in, and it's all about the rapture, the coming of the Lord. And then I think it was just a few years later, Kirk Cameron starred in the film of it, the movie of Left Behind, and I still get a little scared just hearing the title of the book, Brother Ross, the Left Behind series, you know? It's like, I remember in that phase of life, being in middle school and in high school, I remember specifically, vividly, one time going out and mowing the lawn and spending a lot of time in the backyard and coming in the house, and it was silent. And those Left Behind series were fresh on my mind. And Tim LaHaye, what are you doing to me right now? Where's mom? You know? Come on, somebody, right? Dad? You know? And then we would call mom. You know, I would pick up the phone and I'd call mom and, yes, honey, I'm at the store. What can I do for you? Oh, nothing. Everything's good. Bye. You know? Like, we all have that potential rapture story, you know? Like, we all have kind of that fear maybe of when we were growing up, and for me, it was thick. I mean, man, that Left Behind series was kicking, and my friends and I, we would read those books, and we would be so kind of in all of this, and we would just kind of be in this season of, man, I don't hear mom's voice, and so maybe the rapture's coming, and this was a bad week, and so I don't know, maybe I'm left here behind, and I don't know what's happening, and I'm telling you, church, I know that was a while ago, and I don't have a clue when it will be, but I do really believe that God is coming back for his church. I really do believe that God is going to come back for a pure bride, that at midnight, I truly believe that there will be a sound from heaven, that there will be a trumpet that sounds, that there will be a cry at midnight that God is going to rapture his church. And the reason I believe this is not because there's just some, you know, best-selling book that's out there. I believe that there are signs that the Bible gives us to warn us and to teach us and to awaken us to the fact that we are living without a doubt in the last days. For instance, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 8, the word says this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation. Come on, somebody. Kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That what we read in Matthew chapter 24, it is surely happening right now. That when you read that passage of scripture, you have to recognize and realize that we are living in the end times, and you and I, we are living in the last days. But it doesn't just stop there with the proof. We can keep on going. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says that in the last days, somebody say the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That what we just read, it is surely happening right now. That when you read that passage of scripture, you again, you have to recognize and realize that we are, without a doubt, we are living in the last days. But there's even more. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? It ain't coming. There will be mockery, and there will be people walking around after their own lust, saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That this passage of Scripture, it is being fulfilled as we speak right here, right now in 2023. And because of that, when you read this here again, you have to recognize and realize that we are living in the last days. That the bridegroom is coming, and at midnight there will be a cry, that there will be a trumpet from heaven, that we are truly living in the last days. And many times when we preach this on this last day, all we focus on is the bad that is going to take place. But that's not all the Bible says about the end times. It says in Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. What will happen in these last days is that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And let me just remind you that in this season, it's going to be bad for the world, but it's going to be real good for the church. That no wonder the Bible says where sin doth abound, that the grace of God does much more abound. That the crazier it gets out there, the more supernatural it's going to get in here. That the worse that the sin is out there, the greater the saving power of God is going to be in here. That the more bizarre our world gets, the more powerful his blood and his grace and his mercy becomes in here. That the darker it gets out there, the brighter it becomes in here. And so let me encourage the saints here in this midnight hour that we are about to have the greatest revival that we have ever seen in our lives, and you need to get ready for the church to grow like never before and for signs and... I believe a great... We can sit back and we can sit on the padded pews and yep, great, and signs will come, wonder. But I'm telling you, if you believe it, if you really believed it, there ought to be a little pep in our step. That I believe that the greatest revival is coming. I believe that signs and wonders will take place. I believe, why should we get... Because people are going to be healed that walk through those doors. Miracles are going to take place that you could not get the answer out there. Why should we get a little? It's because people are going to come in here and they're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that nothing in this world can come close to it. And so I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to praise and I'm going to shout and I'm going to worship. Why? Because it's in this season that God's going to do the impossible. It's in this season that God is going to do something that the world can never do for you. And so pardon me if I get a little excited that we're living in the last day. And when this is the last day, we're going to shine brighter. And we're going to shine brighter. And we're going to... Jesus' name, Lord, have mercy. See, there's a little faith rising in the house that, yep... As the world gets darker, that something's rising in here, that I believe it with everything in me, that signs and wonders will take place. I believe it with everything in me. That the end time is going to put the world out of business, and it's going to put the church out of this world. That I believe that he's coming back, and that he's coming back for a pure bride. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I'm talking to the seasoned saint this morning, as much as I'm talking to the person where this is the very first time you've ever come into an apostolic church. I want to be ready. I want my children to be ready. That more than anything, hey, I pray that one day they can make the ball team, and I pray that one day they can be on the spelling bee team. I pray, but more than anything, I pray they're ready for those things. But more than anything, I pray that my children are ready for the coming of the Lord. I pray that my family... Let me take this. I pray that our church is ready for the coming of the Lord. Let us not just sit idly by. Let us not just get comfortable in this season. Let us not just go through the motions. But I pray that when God raptures his church, he sees an on fire apostolic church. That, Lord, here we are. Here we are. Lord, here's your bride. And we are pure. Our oil is full. And so, God, we've been waiting and waiting. And waiting. He's coming back. Which leads us back to our opening text. There were five wise, and there were five foolish. There were five that were ready, and there were five that were not ready. Don't be surprised that in the house of God, that there are people that think they're ready, but aren't. There were 10 that all thought they were ready, but five were ready. And five that were foolish, and it came down to the fact that some had oil and some didn't. Hear me this morning, the differentiator, the main thing that shows us that they were ready was the oil. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say it was the oil. That some of them, they came expecting, man, I hope somebody gets this. They came expecting to meet the bridegroom, and they had the lamp, but there was something missing within it, and they didn't recognize it until after midnight. They didn't recognize it until after the cry. They didn't recognize it until it was too little, too late. But oh, all along, it was the oil that's important. It's the oil that makes the difference. It's the oil that I need. And so what's the oil? What's the oil? We got a packed house here this morning. And I find no greater joy than to explain to you what the oil was. It was symbolic of the Holy Ghost. It was symbolic of the Holy Ghost dwelling and living within us. That the oil is what powered and filled the vessel. And we as living vessels, we are filled and we are powered and we are ignited. We live and have our being. We are here today and we are living as children of God because we are filled with the oil. Filled with the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you this morning, if you have no idea what I'm talking about today, and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I just want to let you know it's a promise, and it's a gift, and it's for you. And hear me this morning, the Holy Ghost is not optional. It was a necessity for those virgins. It was a necessity for them that in order to meet the bridegroom, that in order to go in, it was the oil that made the difference, which leads me to believe it's not optional. It's not an accessory. It's not just a gift for some. that it's essential for the vessel. It is essential for new birth. It is essential for salvation that the Word says, don't take it from me, take it from the Word of God that says, unless a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so, my goodness, why does that church down the road, why are they always talking about people being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because it's essential that in order for you and I, for us to be saved, that in order to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so if that's what the Word says, you better believe I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach the Holy Ghost and baptism. I pray that every person out of this church teaches and teaches and teaches. Why? Because in order to make it, we've got to be born again. We've got to be born again. It's essential. I need the oil. It's what powers the vessel. That the Bible said that the foolish said unto the wise, look at this, I'm about to take a little bit of a turn. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? Look at this, verse 8. I'm really going to throw a curveball. 25 verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But look at what the wise answered in verse 9, saying, we don't have any for you. We got just enough for us. I pray, I made a point of this to talk about my family making it to heaven. I pray my family gets to heaven. But what a shame it would be if I just had enough oil for me and my family. What a shame it would be if I said, man, I'm thankful for the oil in my lamp, but I don't have enough for you, my man. I don't have any for you, bro. You know, it's awesome what, you know, you came here and thank God you're faithful and you're waiting on the bridegroom, but I don't have any oil for you. Church, hear me. That when a lost and hurting world comes to the people of God, let it never be said that we only had enough oil for ourselves. I really think that one of the saddest parts of this story is that they just didn't have any extra oil. They had just enough for themselves. That as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, hear me, we don't need less oil in this last day. We don't need less anointing in this last, we don't need less prayer, and we don't need less praise, and come on somebody. We don't need more comfort and less moving of the Holy Ghost in this. We need more oil in this last day. We need more laying on of hands, and we need more breakthroughs, and we need, man, I wish somebody would hear me. We need more folks that are okay getting slain in the Spirit and going ahead and allowing the Holy Ghost to move. And it's all right that we hold on to some old things where we just pray until something happens, and we just have church until something happens. Because if we go out into this dark world and we try to fight a dark enemy and we try to fight every dark spirit and resist everything that's out there, we better have oil. Come on, for every parent that's trying to raise your babies in the dark and wicked season, you better have some oil that's in reservoir. That we need more oil. And we need to begin to pray for more oil, that we desire more oil. But why? Why? Is it just so that we can get loud in here and that we just keep it for ourselves? And thank God, I hope that we go ahead and have church when we have church. I hope that we aren't afraid to bounce off the wall. Well, my goodness, that all seems emotional. Listen, we're here because a God robed himself in flesh, and he went to a cross, and he died for you and I. And so, hey, pardon me if I get a little emotional. Pardon me if I get a little excited. I know we use this metaphor all the time, but if we're going to go to the ball game and jump up and down for a winning team to get a trophy, hey, thank God for whatever they're doing for us. But my God has done a lot more for me. And so I'm not afraid to jump up and down. The Lord, I'm not afraid to shout. Because, come on, that's it. Come on, that's somebody that's not afraid. That's somebody that's saying God has been too good to me, that he's picked me up out of the pit. That my brother, he's got a testimony of what God has done. And so pardon me if I get a little excited. Come on, it's okay that we're taking a little praise break right now to say, Lord, you've been too good to me to sit silent. God, you've been too good to me. And if you're sitting here today thinking God hasn't done anything, I'd encourage you to go ahead and praise your way through the situation. Go ahead and say, God, I haven't seen you done it, but I'm going to thank you anyways because your hand is on me. The Lord, you know greater than I know. And so, Lord, here I am. I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like, but Lord, you've been too good. There ought to be somebody that says, God, I don't deserve the oil, but you've given it to me anyways. I don't deserve the gift, but you've given it to me anyways. You know what's happening right now? There's a little oil that's starting to stir. Come on, right now there is something. It might have been in there, but it's starting to stir. That something's starting to take place. That there's a renewing that's happening. There's a stirring that's happening. So we have enough for us. Why do we need more? Why do we need more? The reason you need a little extra is because there's an empty vessel coming your way. The reason you need a little extra, the reason you need to be overflowing, the reason that there needs to just be a reservoir is because there are empty vessels that God is going to. Is it all right that I just get a little prophetic here this morning? I believe that there's going to be some empty vessels that God is going to put them in your life. And the only way that we can help them is if we can go from empty to extra. If I can just go from just enough for us to overflowing for them. And I believe it with everything in me. The Lord gave me this word, and on Wednesday I preached basically the same thing with a different scripture. But God won't let me take my foot off the gas on this. That he is wanting us to lift up our eyes and look at the. I know it's not easy to lift up our eyes off of us and off of our feet and where I am going and what, Lord, you're going to do for me. But he's asking for someone to get your eyes off of your own path and your eyes off of your own feet and your eyes off of your own things and your eyes off of your own desires and to begin to lift up and recognize that there is some treasure out in the field, that there are some souls out there that, oh man, all this time I've just been looking down. I didn't recognize all of you out there, that God is wanting our church to begin to understand that there are going to be empty vessels coming our way. Hear me, I believe that we are not far away from having preaching points and daughter works. I don't think we are far away from packing out not just this sanctuary, because we're already there, but I don't think we're far away from packing out that sanctuary when it comes, because I believe that the Lord is going to bring us empty vessels. I believe that they're going to be looking for something more than what the world can offer. But what a shame it would be if they start knocking on the door and they start desiring for something that you have, and they start wondering what is happening here. What's happening in this little city that's got a preaching point? What's happening right there on that little corner storefront, Brother Jonathan? What's taking place right there in this city that I don't understand? What does that say, Pentecost? What is all this about? What a shame it would be if we said we just have enough oil for us. We're going to go in there and have church, and it's going to be great, but we don't have enough for you, and we don't have enough for you. We're going to do our thing, and I just don't have time for you, brother. I just don't know if I can roll up my sleeves and serve you right now. I just don't know if I can open up my cup. But God is looking for you to say, I've got an overflow. I've got a reservoir that I'm going from empty to extra, because there's going to be some souls with empty vessels. Because there's always enough oil. The oil will never run dry. The blood will never run dry. The Holy Ghost, it is for the Bible. It's not me. It's for you and for your children and for all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It is for you and for your children and for your great-grand, for your grandchildren, your great-grand. It goes down the lineage. It doesn't matter how. Why? Because it never runs out. That there's never going to be a shortage of oil. There's never going to be a shortage of the Holy Ghost. That in this last day, thousands are going to be crying. Thousands are going to be shouting. Thousands are going to be pleading, give us more oil. There's going to be such a cry in this last day that I just want oil. I don't know what it looks like, and I don't know what it sounds like, and I don't know what it feels like, and I don't know where to find it, and I don't know where to go, but I pray that there would be a church that would say, I've got an abundance of oil, that I know where you can find the Holy Ghost, that I know where you can find something that will make the difference, that I know where the oil is. Let there be such a burden today, you can stand this morning. Go ahead and seek him right now. Go a little further right now. God, in your name, Lord, there's some oil. And I want it, Jesus. I don't just want it for me, but there's a neighbor that needs the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's somebody in the house right now that needs it. There's oil here today. I'm sure of it. It's in the house, and it's for you. That I don't want you to leave here today with an empty vessel. I don't want you to leave here today with an empty cup. I don't want you to leave saying, I wish I would have gotten more oil. I use this, it's a little goofy, but I like it. Anybody in the house like a little chocolate milk? All right, I got some kindred spirit. Now, I don't like it where you just go out and you just buy it. I tried that. I'm not a fan. I don't know, just taste it. I like to get just classic 2% and then get that Hershey, get that stuff that you can just squeeze in there, right? But hey, listen. You put all that in there. You ever had it where you get it all in there and you're ready to go take a drink and you taste nothing because it's all at the very bottom? Man, when I was first starting out in just my rookie days of making my chocolate milk, I thought, what is going on? Where is the chocolate in this milk? But you had to pull out a spoon and you had to do a little stirring and you had to work it
and it's in there, but you got to do a little stirring every once in a while. And I believe I'm speaking to some new people in the house that you needed initially, but I'm also speaking to some seasoned saints that it's in there, but it's all right for you and I to pull out a spoon and say, God, I need a fresh touch. I need a renewing. I need a stirring. I need something to happen in my life. That God, stir me. Listen, saints of God, we can reach him with charisma. We can't reach him with just having good music. Come on, somebody. We can't just reach him having cute little cookie-cutter sermons, and we can't just reach him with having just a nice-looking building, right? We can't just bring them and reach them having program after program. What they desire more than anything is the oil. It's the oil that makes the difference. It's the oil that makes the difference. That more than anything, I need the power of the Holy Ghost to take place. And somebody say, oh, I didn't have any oil. Let this be your opportunity today to say, God, it is for me. It is available for me. That the Holy Ghost, I believe that somebody right now can make their way to an altar and can receive the gift today. I believe that somebody that hasn't spoken in tongues in years can make their way down to an altar. In just a moment, you can be renewed. And so all across this place, I'm looking for somebody. Come on, that's it. Come on, let there be a stirring right now that in the name of Jesus, God, I want a fresh touch. God, I want a renewing, Lord, because I want more. I want more. I want more that, God, you're going to do something. You're going to do something in our city. You're going to do something in my school. You're going to do something in my community. And God, I pray that there's extra. I pray that there's more. Come on, that's it right now in the name of Jesus. If you're standing right now, it doesn't matter if you're in the altar or the back row, would you begin to lift up your hands towards heaven right now? And would you just begin to pray for the oil? Come on, would you just begin to pray for the Holy Ghost? Let it overflow in my life. Let it overflow in my life. Come on, I believe right now somebody's going to begin to speak in tongues. I believe that right now somebody can receive it. That right now, God, I want to be overflowing. Let there be oil. Come on, from the front to the back. I believe it right now. He can fill you with the oil. He can let you overflow.